Host of the Health First radio show. Today we have some interesting guests on. In the first half, we have Amy Lee McCree. She's a best-selling author and a medical intuitive, and we're going to be talking about her book, The Mood Book. And then in the second half, we have David Noel, and he's going to tell us all about Manuka honey and how it got here from New Zealand. But first, here's Alan with the Health First news.
Amid growing concern about the safety of e-cigarettes, more American adults now believe vaping is just as dangerous as smoking cigarettes. Between 2012 and 2017, the number of people who considered e-cigarettes less harmful than tobacco cigarettes dropped significantly, according to an analysis of two surveys. In one, the percentage fell 16 points, from 51 to 35%. In the other, the difference was smaller but still significant, dropping from 39% to 34% over the period. These changes in attitude may deter some adult smokers from switching to e-cigarettes, said lead researcher Jidong Huang. He's associate professor of health management and policy at Georgia State University in Atlanta. The study findings were published online March 29th in JAMA Network Open. Millions of Americans work in shifts, and new research suggests it's doing no favors for their cardiovascular health. The Chinese study of more than 320,000 people found that shift workers are at heightened risk for heart disease, and the more years they work shifts, the greater their risk. In the study, lead author Dr. Weihong Chang and her team analyzed data from 21 prior studies involving hundreds of thousands of people and nearly 20,000 cases of coronary heart disease, which is caused by blocked blood flow in the heart. The report was published March 29th in the journal Occupational Medicine. When you have type 1 diabetes, keeping track of your blood sugar levels can be challenging, but new research suggests that seniors might really have trouble avoiding low blood sugar or hyperglycemia. In fact, many patients over age 60 may experience up to 100 minutes of a day with low blood sugar and not even know what, the study researchers said. The bottom line, said study author Dr. Anders Carlson, older adults with type 1 diabetes do spend a considerable amount of time in hypoglycemia. He's medical director of the International Diabetes Center in Minneapolis. The findings were presented last week at the Endocrine Society annual meeting in New Orleans. The risk of post-traumatic stress disorder among children and teens is higher if they think their response to a traumatic event is abnormal, a new study indicates. Most kids fully recover after a traumatic event, such as a car accident, but some develop PTSD that may endure for months, years, or even into adulthood, according to researchers at the University of East Anglia in the United Kingdom. The study included more than 200 children ages 8 to 17 treated at a hospital emergency department after traumatic incidents, such as car crashes, assaults, and dog attacks. The children were interviewed and assessed for PTSD between 2 and 4 weeks after the incident, and again after 2 months. The study was published online March 25th in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry.
We have Amy Lee McCree with us today. She is a best-selling author of over 10 books, and her latest book is The Mood Book. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So good to have you on the show today. So your book has just been out since March 5th, brand new.
Brand new, yes, exactly.
And it's all about mood. And one of the things that you write about are all the different kinds of moods we have. Can you explain how you broke all the different moods down?
Sure. The mood book is kind of like your own personal literary mood ring. And so you use it to assess your mood and then shift it. So we have 6 different sections, including how to turn worry to peace, sadness to joy, heartbreak to love, fear to freedom, and lethargy to vitality. And then from there, we go through and look at all the different tools in our toolbox to work with our moods.
Okay. And similar tools for each mood, or you've got different tools for each one?
Different tools, but we go through essential oils for each mood, crystals for each mood, plants and herbs for each mood. We have a bath ritual for each mood. And then we have an additional ritual and kind of life activity for each mood that also includes a yoga pose.
Wow, that's really good. So is this a deep read, or is it something you can kind of cover on a weekend?
It's totally something you can cover on a weekend, and you can kind of hop in according to your mood and say, oh, I really want to take a confidence bath to turn fear to freedom. or I want to take a joyful journey bath to enhance my joy and, you know, let go of sadness and things like that. Or you can kind of just jump in and say, what essential oils would increase my vitality right now? Things like that. So you can jump around in it.
So, Amy, tell us about a bath ritual. Say maybe for lethargy.
Sure. So we have an energy-boosting bath for that. And so it gives you a really nice list of materials that you gather before, some of which you might have and some you might have to find. So in that one, you have like a pen and paper. It lists some different stones you could use, some of them easier to find, clear quartz, amethyst, moonstone. A little more challenging would be the howlite. And then it tells you which oils. You use clary sage and frankincense oil for that bath. You use a purple candle. And then you also make a beverage. So you use fresh ginger, raw honey, and the juice of half of a lemon. And then you also use the dried herb mugwort and place it in a muslin bag and put that into your bath. And then you go through the whole ritual. You get everything all set up. And you burn the candle and you use all of the herbs and the oils. And then we have affirmations and the way that you connect to bring forward this extra vitality in your being, and the way you use the stones, everything. It's pretty comprehensive.
It sounds like it. How would I know what mood I'm really in to start with?
That's a good question, too. I kind of recommend you sort of just look at the table of contents, and you'll see those six moods, worry to peace, sadness to joy, all of that. Fear to freedom, and you just can pick one, and you can feel, you know, close your eyes and go within and just ask yourself, how do I feel right now? And you might, you know, you might say, I feel tired, or I feel uninspired, or I feel good, but, you know, a little sad, or things like that, and then you kind of tune into yourself just a little bit, and then you have this toolbox in the form of a book.
Okay. So do you have a suggested list of crystals and rocks you should go out and get ahead of time so you're ready for every mood? Or is it like a list to go and shop to be ready?
Yeah. In each chapter, we have kind of like a list of all of the just top of mind or sort of top stones, top essential oils, and also top plants and herbs. So you can kind of prepare that in advance if you want. You know, you could know that, wow, I really need a lot of times where I want to enhance the love. And I've, you know, for example, if someone had heartbreak in their lives or they wanted to enhance self-love, they could go in and pull all the crystals for unconditional love and romance or the oils or the plants, and then they'd have them on hand.
Okay, Amy, how did you decide on the rituals for each mood?
I have been a medical, intuitive, and holistic health expert for over 18 years. And so over the course of working with clients for all that time, and prior to that, I trained with a Native American-style medicine woman. So that kind of started that aspect of my path. So I decided on these based upon just my own synthesis of guidance and observation of 18 years of people and what helps them transform these moods and feel better.
Can you use the same rituals to stay in a good mood once you've got the program down?
Absolutely. And you can also use them preventatively. So, for example, in the Turn Worry to Peace chapter, I think we could all use that. We have a much more fast-paced world, and we're always, you know, running here and there and on our phones and emailing and texting, and there's a lot of demand, so people have more anxiety than they ever did. But instead of waiting till the point comes where you are worried and anxious, instead you could use these rituals and tools to prevent it.
Amy, did you do much testing with the rituals to make sure they were the best for those certain situations? Like, how did you do the research for your book?
Lots of it is just over those 18 years. A lot of these are things that I've suggested to people over many years and, you know, heard the results back. And so, yeah, I have definitely seen these things work for people. And I also wrote a book on essential oils. So I've worked with people a lot with oils and herbs and plants and everything. So I synthesize all that knowledge into these extra efficient and comprehensive rituals and ideas and activities.
Okay. Amy, when you wrote your book on essential oils, did you work it for moods, or is this the first book you've written on moods?
This is the first book on moods. The essential oils book is based actually more upon health concerns as opposed to moods. So that's broken down according to things like essential oils for endocrine function, neurological balance, digestive balance, emotional health. So that's a little bit different.
Yeah. And why did you decide to write about moods? Is it how does that affect the health?
I think our moods are a big part of our daily life. It's, you know, a lot of what's top of mind for us. And I think from the standpoint of what I do as a holistic health expert, it was a really nice way to break down, break things down and lay out all of these tools. So like I said, all of the oils, all of the crystals, all of the plants, all of the herbs, all of the rituals for mood. It was a really easy and also a fun way to break it down because I did want to make it fun. If you see the book, it's very colorful. It's rainbow colors. It's got this beautiful rainbow gradient on the outside of the pages. And the design team at Sterling, who is my publisher for this book, just did an absolutely fabulous job and really captured the spirit of it, which was to make it fun, too, because we have a lot of serious things in our lives. And what if wellness could also be fun?
Fantastic. So your book is, all your books are through Amazon, are they?
They're all on Amazon. Yeah, they're all on Amazon. Many of them are in Barnes & Noble. A lot of them are in Whole Foods in the U.S. I actually have two. I know you guys are in Canada, and I have a book called Joyful Living, 101 Ways to Transform Your Spirit and Revitalize Your Life that is in French-Canadian. As well.
Oh, they put it in French. That's great.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got books all over. How long did it take you to write the mood book?
The mood book, I think, took me probably three or four months. I'm pretty fast. I'm a fast writer. So mm-hmm. Once it's due, I just write it. So I think it probably took just a few months.
Have you got another book in the works?
I do. I have another book coming out in fall 2019 called Little Bit of Goddess, which is about the divine feminine.
Ah, that'll be interesting. Was there anything specific that you got from working on the mood book?
That was more of lifelong study. And actually, I'd been wanting to write a book about goddesses since probably like at least 2005. So this was a really nice fruition to get to write that. I'm very excited.
All right, Amy, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about some of your works.